Because, Father, without you, nothing is possible. Nothing is possible. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. And Father, we simply ask, God, that you would continue to hover in this place. Because, Father, our desire this day is for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. And he is with us this day. He is with us. Brother Jeff, will you bring the offering basket, please? And today we get to give. You know, we don't have to give. We don't have to give. But God says that if we don't give, that there's a curse that follows. And I don't know about you, but I don't want any curses over my life. And so I chose quite a while ago to do what God told me to do, and that was to bring my tithes and my offerings to the storehouse. And the storehouse is where I'm fed. The storehouse is where I'm fed the word. And I thank God for the pastors in this house, because they truly feed us. They truly feed us the word. They encourage us, they strengthen us, and they pray for us. And that's what this body does. And so today, if you're making out a check, you can make it to Community Church International, and you can bring your offerings, and you can bring your tithes. One of the things that we say here is that we don't take your offerings, we don't take your tithes, but we bring them willingly to the house of God, because that's what's required. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I just wanted to give an update. Last week I prayed for prayer for my eyes, and my husband said, you need to give a testimony today. And so we do need to encourage one another. You never know, this was broadcast too. You never know. I believe people were praying, and so I want to give a testimony of God's faithfulness to answer prayer. And I feel like I got a medical miracle. On Tuesday, I got my left eye operated on, and I went from being legally blind to seeing 20/20. And so I want to say thank the Lord. I mean, my whole life being in that condition, to hear that doctor say that to me, I rose my hands up and said, hallelujah, right there. And so this next Tuesday, I have my other eye done. So this eye's still in that old condition, and this one, but it will be the same as this one come this week. So, and I do praise the Lord that I understand insurance paid for everything. So my lesson on this is, you know, we've prayed for things for a long time. We pray for healing for a long time. We pray for this or that for a long time. And God, those are heard the moment we pray. But then we keep sowing, or what the germinating process is in the ground, the prayer is in there. But we keep praying, we keep believing, we keep praying, and it may be years. You know, I've been like this since I was a child. Now I'm in middle age for sure. So, you know, we keep praying, we keep believing. And then sometimes we grow tired of praying, and we just don't for a while. But then we get stirred up and we do it again. Well, so pastors through the year, right, the church communities have been praying. Well, long story short, I sense the Holy Spirit's nudge with my last eye appointment. Now's the time. So we wait for that Holy Spirit. And when we feel him, then we step in faith, and he will part those waters for us. So that was just something I learned fresh and new. We know those things, but it's good to encourage one another, because tomorrow may be your day. Today may be your day. And so we water that seed. It's already answered, but we thank the Lord. Thank you, Father, for my healing. Thank you. It's going to come when you say, when it's the right time. Until then, I'm satisfied, I'm content, and I'm joyful. And I'll tell you, and I believe the Lord wants me to write this down too, because when I was sitting in service that day, last week, gosh, what happens in a week? But when the elders were called up to pray, remember, they were all called up, the Lord said, you go up and get anointed with oil. Well, that's God's way. God's way is that he called the elders, if any of you are sick among you, and we step into God's flow, his way. Quite honestly, I forgot about that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then we prayed for finances, because this other way that I was thinking was $6,000. But the Lord said, you know, go this way. Step out this way. I wanted it this way. But I'm believing him for his way. Thank you, Jeff, for that remembrance. Finances are a big thing. But we tithe.
Hallelujah. That's fantastic. And just, you know, the money for the well reached Africa this week. Wow. For the first well. For the first well. Okay? And we're on the second well. Okay? And there's already a little over $2,000 that's been pledged for the second well. And so, you know, we're just believing that God's going to put it on his heart, on people's hearts, to give and to have that second well be dug later on this fall. I don't know about you, but when I see pictures of people dipping water out of sloughs and taking it home and bathing and eating or drinking water, it breaks my heart. Because I think of even the water that we used in our home last night. We filled the tub up twice for the grandkids. You know, clean, fresh water that, you know, other countries, you wouldn't be able to do that. And there was a lot of water because they were using my tub. And they filled it up over the jets so that they could use the jets. So, I mean, you know, we wasted a lot of water last night. You know, and we have that privilege where in other countries, you step into the shower and you step out. So I praise God that we live in a country where we live in a place where we don't, you know, we don't have to be concerned about our drinking water. You know, we don't have to boil it first. But we can simply go to the faucet and we can turn it on and we can drink that water. It's living water. And it's like the living water that we get from the Spirit. Brother Jim, will you come? He's going to give us some living water this morning.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. He said wherever his presence is, it's the house of the Lord. I always thought of Steve Youngblood And we were out on the lake, and he said that where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of us. And that he said that makes the church. So right out in the middle of the lake, we could have church because of the presence of God over our lives. And I found out in my life that, wherever I was, if it was on the mission fields in Mexico or if it was walking with the cross, that God was always with me, and sometimes I was the only one that was with me was God and I suppose the people that were praying for me as I was on the mission field. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness. We talk about healing and of eyes, and he's faithful. He's faithful to be there in our loneliness, when we need healing. He's there with us, and he walks through us. Sometimes we don't understand everything that's going on in our lives, but there's one thing that we can know that he's with us, because he said he'll never leave us or forsake us, that he'll always be with us until the ends of the earth. You got to take the promises of God and believe and declare them over our lives. And Dave was here, he spoke on the word of God and how important that when we were young Christians, the importance of being in your word, of being in prayer, seeking the Lord every day. That was almost a felt like a requirement in our lives, is that we have to be in the word of God. We have to pray, and we have to praise. We have to give God thanks and glorify his name, And so I always loved the scripture in Psalms 27:4. It says, "One thing I desire, the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praise unto the Lord." And I always think about the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is what? Said it wasn't meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we think about those things in our lives, and we think that, those are the things in our lives that are being attacked. As we fight warfare within our lives, the voices. I was just this week, and I was going, why don't I have the peace? and sometimes you're even sowing into why I don't have the peace is I'm sowing into something that doesn't bring me peace. Or I'm entertaining thoughts, I'm entertaining things in my life that doesn't bring the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God, said Jesus, is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. There's a guarantee that Jesus never changes. So the one that I always think of, it said, "I'll give you all of me." That was the song. I give you all of me. And that's what Paul always spoke about, I think of my favorite scripture is that, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If there was any way that I become righteous in my own being through the law, then Christ has died in vain. But it's only when he and we allow him to come into our lives to change us. It's that grace in our lives. You know, we're saved by grace, the grace and the voice of God. It tells us in Titus, it says, the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. You know, it's the grace of God that's inside of our lives. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, the grace of God, the anointing of God, whatever that, the Spirit of God, whatever you want to call the person that came in me, but he came within me. And he started to weed out things in my life. You know, and I always think of, you know, I know we've talked a lot about love in the last, you know, and I think in the there's so much, you know, I always think of, you know, what is love? You know, we talk about, you know, says to love my enemies. You know, and it tells us to be kind. It tells us to be, you know, it says love is kind. It's long-suffering and forbearing. You know, I have sometimes trouble with my wife doing all of those things. And then now it's telling me that I should love my enemies. That I should be kind and I should, you know. Hey, and, you know, and I'm not always kind. And it's not that I maybe show that on the outside, but inside of me. And see, that's what Paul was talking about when he was crucifying. He wasn't going up and being crucified on the cross with Jesus, but he was crucifying those things within him. You know, putting them to death. Putting them to death. That war is still in my members. And I think of Paul. He said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. But this was at the end of his life. He was fighting. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but what? He said, he finds nothing in me. There was no place in Jesus' life that he allowed those voices to control his life. He had put it all to death. And Jesus was in the same body. Yeah, but he was in the same body. He could be tempted. That was one thing that it tells us, and it said God cannot be tempted with evil. So what Jesus came to prove, that he walked on the earth in a human body being tempted. He could be tempted just like we could. But he had put it all under his feet. That's what he said. He said that, you know, the prince of this world cometh, but he finds nothing in me. You know, and we have to fight the fight. There's a battle going on there's unrest in our nation. You know, and sometimes you think, man, the people are that dissatisfied. You know, with our nation, I'd hate for them to live in another nation if they're that dissatisfied with this nation. But yeah, I think it's just so much spiritual warfare that's going on in this season of time, and it can be, like I said, you know, it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that the enemy will come to try to destroy our lives. He'll try to take the kingdom from us. He tries to take our righteousness from us. He tries to take our peace and our joy. You know, and you're going to have to say, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. But it so much has to do with me in dying to myself. That's where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dying to those things. I'm dying to what I want to do. You know, that might not look like sin. I'm dying to him that I might live to Christ. And see, the warfare is not on the outside. The warfare is in our hearts. Paul was desiring that he could live in the, or I mean, David was desiring that he could live in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. That I'd get into that place and living in his presence where there's righteousness and where there's peace, where there's joy. That's where he wanted to live. And that should be our desire and our quest and our pursuit. You know, the word pursuit came and he just said, well, what are you pursuing? You know, is it something that's earthly? Or is it something that's heavenly or spiritual? It says the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. He thinks they're foolishness. It's foolish to spend a couple hours in prayer and in the Word for an hour and then give praise. To the natural man, that's foolish. That's foolish. Spending all that time doing that. You know, and that's after, you know, a lot of people have, you know, the Bible, you know, I've read it for, 40 years. You know, a lot of people say, aren't you done with that book yet? No, because it's constantly changing us. Like Dave said when he was here, is that it's constantly doing something and it's constantly being renewed and it's constantly being different things being revealed to us when we're in the Word of God. And it said that, you know, it said in the end times that there will be people that will manifest gifts and all those types of things, but it always comes back to the Word of God. How do we, it said that in the end times, the first thing that it says is that there'll be great deception in the earth. How do we combat this deception? It's only by the Word of God. Us being in the Word of God, being in His presence, being guided by the power of His anointing. In 1 John, it says that it's the anointing that was born in our lives. You know, the anointing of Christ in us, the hope of glory, the anointed one became the anointed, or the anointing. Jesus was the anointed one, or he was the Christ, or the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one, became that anointing that was born within each one of our lives. That's where Jesus lives in me. He lives in my heart through the anointing of God. That's the only thing that can guide us. The only thing that can guide us is the anointing of God. And we have to fight the battles of not allowing the enemy to come in our righteousness, in our peace, in our joy. You know, and we've all been under this attack. That, you know, serving God is a joyful. It should be. should be. It should produce these things. It should produce the kingdom of God. Jesus never changes, so the kingdom of God will never change either. It still remains righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's something that's within our hearts and our lives. It's not something that meat or drink. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 9 and 23. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, who exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. It's having the knowledge of God within our lives. You know, in John, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said that, you know, he said about them, they search the scriptures, and in them they think they have eternal life. But they are they that point to me, and you won't come to me. You know, the Word of God is pointing us to Jesus. He's bringing us to that place. He's saying, you know, I always heard, you got to die to yourself. That was the biggest thing when I gave my heart to the Lord. You got to die to yourself. You know, and I was just, before the service, I was kind of thinking, and I was thinking that what John the Baptist said, he said, I must decrease that he might increase. As we decrease in our lives, he will increase. And Paul said, death is working in me, but life in you. In the process of dying in himself, released the glory of God, or released what was in him, but he was carrying the anointing that was being released into people's lives. And it was, that anointing was, is that he was, had made a decision in his life that he was decrease, that God would increase within his life. And people were feeling that increase. And I think that through just sitting in the meetings this last week, in sitting under the anointing and feeling the anointing and feeling and hearing the voice of God, and in God is revealing himself. He revealed to us. He brought revelation into our lives of the true knowledge of him. That we would know him, even though that we can't see him, yet we know him. It said the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but it comes from within us. The kingdom of God should be in us. We should have more peace than anybody else in the world. We should have more joy than anybody else in the world. We should have... Now, joy isn't... You know, I always think of Jack Griffin when he talked about joy, because he said that people are... He said happiness. Oh, yeah, everybody wants to be happy. He said, but I want joy, he goes. You know, happiness was, it's kind of an outside thing, but he had an inner joy that brought such an inner peace. You know, because he wasn't out after something out here. You know, have you ever been after something and then pretty soon you don't have no peace, and you, And it, America. You know, why do these people don't have peace? You know, because they can't accumulate what everybody else has accumulated. You know, and when we accumulate it, then we find out that I have to either buy or build another shed to put it in. And that gets crowded, and pretty soon, you know, we've accumulated so many things through, you know, America's built on people buying, and, you know, if people don't buy, everything goes down the tube. You know, so they, you know, it started in America. It started to get into Mexico before we were, you know, they were loaning money for people to build houses, to buy cars, you know, but they didn't do that. They were only doing that in the United States not too many years back. And now it's kind of filtered into other different countries and stuff like that. But everything that's being made, I don't know how much, they said everything that was being made in the world, and how much at one time the United States, what they call consumers, how much we bought of all of the things that were being made in the world. And that's why we came to the place of a throwaway society. We just throw everything away. You know, these are the things that, you know, people are fighting for, but they don't have any substance. They don't have any inner joy. They might bring happiness for a certain point of time until you start seeing the rust on the fenders and the so then you're looking someplace else for your happiness. But God will bring an inner joy in our lives. God, the kingdom of God is in us. You know, and God, you know, we have to protect it. And we protect it by being in God's Word, learning, you know, what pleases God. You know, I always think of, loving my enemies or the things that the Bible say, you know, and that, then I go through a process. You ever been in a process? And then it comes to what? Surrenderance. You know, not too many people want to surrender. You know, I always think of running from the police or something like that, you know. You know, our surrenderance, you know, but it seems like all the time, you know, I never, something about surrenderance, it's not in the vocabulary of the flesh. We don't want to surrender. I don't want to surrender. That's why we have so many divorces, why we have so many, nobody wants to surrender any of my thoughts. And see, the kingdom of God, is that's what it's all about. It's all about knowing who he is and knowing, you know, Jesus came, he surrendered his life into the hands of Rome. He surrendered his life into the hands of religious system. He surrendered his life and went to Calvary and died. Praise the Lord, he did. Praise the Lord, he did. That's one of the things that we can really be thankful for, is that, you know, that he gave his life. that I might have life and life more abundantly. He gave his life, and now, now he's saying that, you know, I need to give my life. You know, but what does that mean, giving my life? And we see here that David, he said one thing I desire, the Lord, that will I seek after. Now we see Paul's life. And I think Paul said that, you know, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. But, thank you. Appreciate it. I'm going to go to Philippians 3. If I can find it. In Philippians 3, it says, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. It says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcised who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he thereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuted the church, touching the righteousness that which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I count loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is according to the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain to the resurrection of the dead. This was Paul's quest in his life. He had a quest in his life, and that, and it would have been the same thing David was saying, it's that one thing I desire. He had a quest that he could, you know, he was a Hebrew, he was a Pharisee, he was taught under the Pharisees, he had all the things, all the natural things that he could have been a leader in the Jewish religion. But yet he counted it all dung. that he might have Christ living in him. And I wrote down these verses, Philippians 3:10, and this out of the Amplified Bible. He said, for my determined purpose is that I might know him, that I might progressively become more deeply and more intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding and understanding the wonder of his person more strongly, more clearly, and that I may in that same way be known or know the power that outflows from his resurrection, which is exerted over all believers, and that I might so share with his suffering as to be continually transformed in spirit in the likeness, in his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible I might attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead while still in the body. We find that, you know, this was his quest in his life. Yeah, he was preaching the gospel and doing all these things, but this was the quest in his life, is that he would know him, that he would have the understanding that, you know, and we're learning. I find out I'm still learning about God's love. I haven't reached that place. I haven't put all the enemies underneath my feet. There's attacks upon our lives, but it's not upon our lives, it's upon the kingdom of God that's within us. Those attacks are against the kingdom of God within us. It's against righteousness. It's against peace. It's against joy in the Holy Ghost. And those are the things that we need to pursue. Like, you know, I always think of out from among the dead while still in the body. You know, that means almost like you have an out-of-body experience. You know, and I know that Paul, he went to the third heavens. His quest. And sometimes I sit back and I go, is this my quest? Is it my quest to see blind eyes open? It's my quest that the gospel will be preached throughout the world. It's my quest to see children have fresh water. You know, and those are the things I ask myself. You know, I've been on the mission field. I know what it's like for people to haul water. I had never seen them carry water, but they had a pickup and they hauled water in barrels. And yet they even had wells. The government in Mexico had come in and put in wells for all of some of these smaller communities that we used to go to. And yet the water had sulfur in it, and it was of no value, really, other than maybe get sprayed with it. You know, so they irrigated at the time, didn't really know that it had salt in it and killed the land. So then they couldn't grow things. So a lot of times, so they had to go back to the old, they had built these lakes out below the mountains. And when the water would come up out of the mountains, when it rained, it would fill lakes up. But when we were going to Mexico, it was one of the driest times in the history of those areas where we went. And at one time, they used to even have cattle and could grow hay, and they didn't have any of those types of things because they didn't have water, you know. The necessity of water had to be so much for growing. So they had to depend on, a lot of times they would depend on rain. And when it rained, they'd run out and plant their seeds. And then they would have to pray for rain in the midst of all of it to get a harvest, you know. And they were pretty good at it, other than, you know, if you don't have water in the desert, you are hurting when it comes to growing anything or living there. It gets to be quite a struggle, you know. You look at the unrest that's in our nation, and you just think of, man, we need a healing. We need Jesus. And we need him more now than we ever have. You know, and I'd heard a guy say that, you know, we're probably doing better than we're doing because of the enemy forces are being puked out on the earth for this end time. And they're coming against the Christian people. They're coming against our righteousness and our peace and our joy in the Holy Ghost. And these are the things we have to fight for. People need peace in their life. They don't need objects. They don't need. They need peace. You know, and the world can't give you. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And there was just an intimate, personal thing that Jesus was telling his disciples, that he was going to give them peace. Peace I leave with you. You know, and that was, I guess it was a traditional saying, Shiloh, which means peace. And that was, you know, the Jewish people, when they said, well, instead of saying goodbye, they would say peace. You know, and so when Jesus was going to go to the Father, he said that, peace I leave with you. You know, and you think of Jesus said what? He said, the prince of this world comes, but he finds nothing. And he had already silenced the voices of the enemy that tries to steal our peace. Jesus already did it. That peace was a true inner peace that's only going to be fulfilled with the power of the Holy Spirit, with God's presence in our lives. Really, he's saying, I'm going to bring my presence in your life. But it's got to be our quest, our pursuit, you know, to push into God's word and to push into his presence. Because what? Because the enemy is being puked out on the earth to try to what? To try to destroy the kingdom of God. We need, said that we need to get back to prayer. We need to get back to God's word. We need to get back to sitting in his presence. You know, I always think of Moses and Joshua going up into the tabernacle and just sitting in the presence of God before they did anything. And you think of all of the old time people that you hear of, like Finney and them and their prayer life and just sitting in God's presence. They, you know, said that they'd pray in tongues for a couple hours. They prayed in the natural for a couple hours every morning when they got up, you know. And they walked in what tremendous power, tremendous anointing in their lives. And that's not, they're not special. They just made, it was their pursuit. And we can have that. We can have what they've already talked about, or what I've even experienced in my own life. You know, there's things that we've experienced in this house. That's, man, if I could touch that again. You know, I remember being just under the glory of God and couldn't stand on your feet. Just under the glory of God. And we need to be able to walk in those things. God's just saying, we need to be able to walk in these things. And nothing. We got to say, nothing's going to stop it from happening. But we need to, the things that are, I was listening to a guy and he said that, you know, we don't have any inherited light. That means we don't inherit light. It's a reflection from God. The light that's on us is like the light of the moon that it doesn't have inherited light. It's a reflection of the sun. And the same way with Christian people, we don't have, and so we have to keep what? We have to keep all of the enemies underneath our feet within us, all the voices. You know, I got a lot of voices and opinions. And man, you know, sometimes you get going and you think, man, I didn't think I have that many opinions. And it just talks about our repentance. This week I've been repenting a lot. Because it's something that's what, it's like that to that light there. I got more than one here, but, and it's in the way for that reflection. You need to repent of it so God can shine on us again. You know, so that, there's a process that's happening within our lives. God's revealing things in our lives. And we need to what? Repent. God reveals something in my life that's not of Him. You know, and I'm telling you, when you start searching the Word and you start, when it starts to talk about loving your enemies and loving the people that are out there protesting and all of those things, and instead of having an opinion, God's dealing with my love. Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you And when you see that, you need to be able to repent. You know, and I think that what I got out of the messages from Dave is that one of the things, that was one of the things, is that we need to repent. You know, I always, I fought a lot of warfare without repenting. And it seems like it always came back up again. It always was, and it was something that, you know, I just never repented of. You know, I just forced it down again in my life. But God's revealing things in our lives. You know, I'm telling you, you know, when I don't turn on the light in the bathroom, I look as young as I used to look. But when I turn on the light, there's wrinkles and things that are happening to this natural man that, you know, that that you can see that, you know, it's aging. You know, when, and that's the same when Jesus is going to shine his light on you. You're going to find things in you that aren't, that need to be repented of. You know, and Lord, we just give you praise for this time, Lord. And I pray that you'd give us strength. Lord, I pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon this congregation, upon this region, Lord. That the Spirit of God would rule and reign within our lives, Lord Jesus. Help us to know that repentance is not a dirty word, but it's in the process that you've made for us to live in your kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, come over your people, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord, that you're merciful to us, Lord. Lord, I pray for the love of God to overflow within each one of our hearts, Lord. Deal with us, Lord Jesus. Lord, and I know that you chasten who you love. And so, Lord, you must love us a lot. I can say that for myself anyway. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jim, for the word this morning. And Father, now as we leave this house, Father, as we leave this house, we would ask that that we might take your peace, your joy, your righteousness out into the world with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.